Hello, my boy.
We've started too intense. It's too intense. I can't.
Hello, my boy.
How are you, Si?
Where have you been? It's been such a long time.
I had to pop off. Do you know the publication skipped a year?
Oh, did it really now?
Oh, right.
And where did you pop off to?
Oh, just down the chip shop.
Oh, lovely. And did you get a battered Wally?
I got two battered Wallys. One for me and one for my wife.
Well, to be careful. Pickled eggs, my boy. Pickled eggs, if you get my drift.
Who are you two? Oh, sorry.
Yes.
Off you pop. Hey, sorry.
Guys, so I'm literally, as you can see, I've got ice cubes sellotaped all over my body. I'm literally in a sauna. I'm laid horizontally in a sauna.
That's how to do it. I have two desk fans attached to either side of my head.
If you could see us now, ladies.
You get that Darth Vader voice.
Yeah.
Did you ever do that?
No.
When you talk to the back of a fan.
No, I didn't know.
You've never done that. All right.
No, I love Darth Vader. This is amazing.
Should we do it at the end of the show?
Let's do it.
Have you never spoken into the back of a fan? Ever?
Oh, why would I? Would that not be dangerous? Could you not get your tongue caught in the back of the fan?
Well, yes, potentially. All right. Well, there you go. There's a reason to stay tuned in for the next however long this podcast is. At the end of today's show,
Al is going to get his tongue chopped off in a fan live on air.
Oh, stay tuned, ladies. You're in for a treat if you've never heard that, though.
Can I do this, though? Because you reminded me of the Aspidistra in the adventure game from the 80s, one of my favourite programmes in the 80s.
All the young people listening to this show just gave a round of applause for that reference.
What do you mean, young people? I'm reasonably young. I'm not even 50 years old yet, I'll have you know.
Not quite.
I'm closing in with great taste. He said, trying to brush his hair over his bald spot.
No one could see that. You didn't.
I know.
Shall we just get straight stuck into this podcast?
Let's go straight on with the show.
Let's get straight stuck in,
shall we? You and your battered Wally.
Right, Si, this is one we've had on the list for a while, right?
It's a tasty one.
It's a delicious top. Oh, we didn't do the top five.
Top five.
One must. I'm trying to do a jingle.
Up to five, yeah.
Yeah.
One must try, two must die, three must say goodbye, or something.
One must try, two, three, the thoughts for everyone to five.
My thigh. Oh, no.
Anyway, it's
not working. It's not working.
No, we'll get that right for next time. What is it, Si?
No, we won't.
Top five what?
Top five villains.
Or in France, villains.
Villains, as they call them in
France. All right, jump straight in. You bet you have a few. I've got so many.
Well, it's a tricky one for me at number one, but I'm actually going to have to go with my hero, who is the master of villains. And you know who that is.
Skeletor.
No, Christopher Lee, you fool.
Oh,
Christopher Lee is all the villains. So Christopher
actually,
Lee.
No, hang on. When you said the master of villains, I was actually going to guess that you meant the master.
Master. He's on my list. Of course he's on my list.
Now that you mention it, yeah, he's pretty high on the list.
Well, you see, Christopher Lee, I think, because he's like Lord Summerisle, you know, and he's like, you are the what a virgin fool king.
I just warned you. You know, if you're going to do impressions of all the villains that Christopher Lee played, it's just one Christopher Lee impression.
I know that. Listen, yeah, but he's Saruman the White. He was Count Dooku. Is it Dooku? I'm not sure.
Dooku, yeah.
Not Dooku. And then he's in The Wicker Man, obviously, Lord Summerisle. And then,
He's not in The Wicker Man.
No, he's not inside The Wicker Man. That would go to Edward Woodward, who I watched the other day.
Iwawuwa.
Iwa Wuwa, who I watched the other day in a series I'd forgotten from the 80s. What was it called?
A forgotten series from the 80s. Is there such a thing?
It wasn't forgotten. No, I don't think it's ever been forgotten. But he,
well, clearly
it, but
it has.
I've forgotten
right
the name
now,
of it. But yeah, he plays this. It's not the Exterminator, is it? It's the... Oh. It goes like this. And it's got this electronic music at the beginning. But it's basically got him in what appears to be the same kind of girdle that is worn by T.J. Hooker. You know who T.J. Hooker is?
Maybe that's what he expressly asked for.
It is, yeah, because he can't, you know, when he walks and runs...
Do you have the one worn by T.J. Hooker?
The one that's worn by William Shatner, yes. Could I, if I could just tuck myself into that, I would be able to walk and run as he does. But, yeah, and I've gone off track. Anyway, what was it called? The Equalizer. The Equalizer.
Thank God.
Looking back in time, that is the most dreadful fucking series I've ever seen. It is awful. And I had to work hard to convince my son that, although he had seen The Wicker Man, but and Michaela, that Edward Woodward was actually quite a fair actor, I think. But in that...
He had his moments.
In that, it's just the dialogue he's got to say. You can see him kind of squirming in his girdle.
Squirtle.
His Squirtle. But anyway, yeah.
That's so a good choice. Christopher Lee encompasses a lot of top villains.
Dracula, of course, is one of my top villains, but Christopher Lee, I think, does it.
I suppose this list also depends on what you categorize as a villain.
Yeah, because, see, this is the problem to me, because I love kind of... villains become anti-heroes for me, which I'll get into in a minute. But for me, yeah, I love the baddies anyway. I love the villains. So I love Dracula, for instance, would be my kind of hero when I was a kid watching the films late at night.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
What about the Hood from Thunderbirds, the Master of Disguise?
The Hood? Is he the one with the big hairy eyebrows?
Yes.
Ah,
old, and he kind of
yeah, it was just a problem with those eyebrows. However he dressed up, you could always see the eyebrows. He was like,
and he had glowing eyes sometimes. Yeah. But he could adopt any disguise, and I used to love it when the puppet, they just have a different puppet that would then reach up to his face and then pull off a mask and transform into a completely different puppet. It's phenomenal stuff. The Master of Disguise.
But it was great, really, wasn't it, that oh, what do they call it?
Brainstorm. Gary Anderson, Super Mario Nation.
Super Mario Nation, that's it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's fantastic.
They all have good villains, too. Like, there's Captain Black from...
Yeah.
He's a good one.
This is the voice of the Mysterons.
The Mysterons
work. You will all be destroyed. Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
Don't panic, listeners.
It's not really the Mysterons. Although, yeah, my son used to have a talking Captain Black doll. That actually said that.
This is the voice of the Mysterons.
It was pretty cool, yeah. I've still got here the Captain Scarlet doll, missing one of his boots, though, sadly.
Oh, he's lost a boot, eh?
He's lost a booty. And so, and I've also got the guy from, one of the ones from Thunderbirds, the main guy, with a black-haired one, the main, you know,
Scott.
Good guy. Scott, yeah, and he's lost one of his booties too. So somewhere, there are two booties, one red, one black.
My name's Alan, and my little brother's name's Gordon. I suspect my dad was going for the full set of Thunderbirds.
And was he? He was probably constructing a wooden Thunderbird underneath the garden. Did he ever disappear for a while? And he was down.
Well, he built that swimming pool.
you see, he was underneath there trying to get it together. He was hoping that one day, perhaps he'll still reveal it to you and your brother.
That we've gone so far off track on this topic.
So yeah, we have.
So who else you got?
Who else have I got? Okay, so the next one is the devil. the devil himself. Okay. Now, he's the ultimate villain, right? Because when I first saw... Because he's incarnated...
The devil.
the devil, the, you know, Lucifer, the fallen angel, but he is so brilliant.
No, I'm aware of who you're talking about.
Yeah, no, in films and TV. So, for instance, Terrence Stamp is in a film called The Company of Wolves. Terrence Stamp, again, who played Zod. I love Terrence Stamp.
A good movie. I like that movie.
Yeah, and he turns up in the middle of this medieval forest. Suddenly, this black limo pulls up, and the window winds down, and it's Terrence Stamp, and he's the devil. It's just awesome. It's one of my favorite ever.
So, I don't know. You can't see this, folks, but Si's getting very excited.
Oh, I love my villains, you see.
What about Skeletor?
Skeletor?
Yes!
You know what, though? Skeletor was my first He-Man figure.
Is that Terrence Stamp winding down his window? It turns out I did.
Bad. Yeah. Did he go? Oh, it's when he laughed, Skeletor.
Shut up, Henty, you bubbling boo.
his jaw always looked like it was going to come off. It always worried me.
I don't know how he pronounced his words. He didn't have any lips. Surely he should talk. Yes, hang on.
All from the diaphragm.
I have the right skeleton.
All from the diaphragm was... Oh, no, he wouldn't have had one of those either.
I'm not sure Skeletor. I really count Skeletor as a villain, though, because he clearly should have owned Castle Grayskull. He-Man clearly stole Castle Grayskull from...
Yeah, and look at He-Man. See, that's why I was like the villains. In fact, Skeletor was my very first...
State of him.
I know. Skeletor was my... All those hormones he was taking in the gym, and his hair bleached, he had his teeth
I like
done.
To make my arms strong and purple.
The fake tan. You know, he had the whole lot. He was basically just a contestant in Mr. Universe without,
Yosemite Sam.
Is a great baddie, yeah.
You're dirty.
you just want to do the impressions, don't you?
Apparently, whenever I talk about villains, I just want to do their voices.
Yeah, go on.
You dirty Egypt rabbit.
You rabbit.
When I'm doing the other says, one. Whoa.
Who's the one that goes, it's rabbit season?
That's Elmer Fudd.
Elmer Fudd, that's it, yeah.
He's also a good villain, but he's more of an idiot.
Well, you see, I would say Bugs Bunny was an anti-hero, really. He was quite villainous in his own way, Bugs Bunny,
but he was
which
always
I liked
the,
about him. He's a bit cheeky.
He was always on the right side of vengeance.
I reckon you'd be on the right side of vengeance.
You can. I mean, look, Hunter's authority.
A bit like Edward Woodward in The Equalizer. So basically, if they'd have combined the two and they'd have had Bugs Bunny as the Equalizer, that would have
Bugs
been...
Bunny is
the Equalizer. Da, da, da,
right.
Da,
what about about the T-1000 from Terminator 2? That's a pretty good villain.
Yeah, that's great. I love him, especially the way, because that was the early CGI stuff. When they shot through him and then like, and it just goes and just seals back up with that metallic kind of thing. I love that.
That's a good way to describe what you did on podcast.
Yeah, James Cameron actually had me in to do the Foley on that one. So I was like,
no, wait, this is a silly bit of nonsense.
No, it's not true.
That's
hang on, because I want to skip before we finish. My all-time child, and I didn't mention that Skeletor was my first He-Man figure. I had not even seen He-Man, but I saw him in the shop, nice. And I said to my mum, I must have that figure. Mum was like, but you know, what is it? Some American thing. And I was like, I don't care. It's a skeleton.
They
I like
had her number.
Yeah, but I was going to say, of course, Darth Vader. Now, Darth Vader, I love, because when I was a kid, he was my hero. In the playground when we had to play Star Wars, my friend Stuart always used to say to me, but why do you want to be Darth Vader? He always has to lose. I was like, what? He's got the black cape. He's got the mask. He strides through the mist. You know, he can grasp people by the throat. You know,
I mean, Christ, I feel
he's friends with Peter Cushing, just like Christopher Lee.
It's both in real life and CGI. I feel like... in the original trilogy, Darth Vader's an amazing villain, but I feel like it has been let down over time a little bit.
I don't even want to go down this road because I loved Darth Vader so much that when I watched Revenge of the Sith, I loved it because it showed me the whole Darth Vader kind of story. Okay, right, Christian.
Well,
and Christian Anderson.
That's the final episode of the Electric Head podcast.
Because they had Hans Christian Andersen playing the young Darth Vader, which I thought was weird because he wrote all those lovely fairy stories and he was played by Danny Kaye in the original, you know, wonderful, wonderful Copenhagen. Yeah. And then he turns into this evil masked.
Maybe I need to give that another watch. I didn't realise it was Hans Christian Andersen.
Maybe I flipped over halfway through the musical Hans Christian Andersen to the end of Revenge of the Sith. I can't quite remember.
Do you have any honourable mentions you can just rattle off before we have to finish top five?
Yeah, I do. The Child Catcher.
Good one.
Obviously amazing. And that guy was a dancer, I believe, wasn't he? But yeah, he was really terrifyingly scary, though, I think, to most people. The Master, obviously, including John Sim, who I thought was an amazing master. But my favourite is the guy from the Tom Baker years who used to make them into miniature little dolls and stuff. I loved Missy as well, though.
I think Missy may be up there in my favourites, actually.
Missy was amazing. The Master is just such a great character. I just think, yeah, it's just incredible. And the Child Catcher. Oh, and also the Joker. It's an obvious one. But when I was a kid, I think it's Cesar Romero used to play him in the 1950s. Yeah. He was a comedian.
The 60s Batman.
Yeah, and I loved him.
And he famously refused to shave off his moustache, so the makeup is just over the top of the moustache.
Yeah, you can see. I loved him. I loved those villains in that original Batman. Catwoman had a bit of an early crush on, I must admit.
I think we all did.
But that was the Eartha Kitt one, and the other lady that played her, who was the Russian one. But yeah, she's a great super villain, I think. Catwoman's definitely up there as one of my favourite ones. Michelle Pfeiffer is great in the...
Sai's just going off on a...
I could go off on villains forever.
He's just going off on a lusty memory.
No, it's not a lusty one. It's not just lusty. She was cool. She was cool, right? Catwoman is cool.
Top one for me, one of the very top ones, Gozer from Ghostbusters.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. Good and villain. when he inhabits Sigourney Weaver.
Well...
Sigourney Weaver yeah, makes a great Zool. Gozer. As oh, Zool. I am Zool. Yeah, yeah.
There is she no was... Dana...
There is only
Zool. Sigh.
What is that? What kind of intro is that?
It's not over yet.
I need it a bit more epic than this.
Quiet in the auditorium, please. Jesus. Okay, here we go. Science, turning magic into science, and then back again, back to the first one.
I don't know if I can even follow that.
All right, I'll do a bigger
opening.
Oh, actually, I know what I'm going to do. Okay, I'm ready.
You're using up my science time here, you know that, don't you? Right.
Okay.
This I like.
I'm going to have to start it again. You've interrupted it. Hang on. Quiet, please.
He's just trying to use up my science time.
Science! Dun, 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 dun,
dun. There you go. That's what I like. So, ladies and gentlemen, and Al. Let me introduce you to, so we're going into, you'll enjoy this one actually, because now you know we're on Bizarre Botany, and this week, if I remember rightly, I said I'm just going to do
Bizotany. Can we call it Bizotany?
Bizotany, I like that. The Living Stone and the Tide of Red Death. Now, we might not get to the Tide of Red Death, but we'll get there eventually. So,
is that a threat?
Just what really got me, now David Attenborough, another one of my heroes, as you know, although not a supervillain, did a program on the life of plants, which was amazing. And I just want to read you a little bit from this program, which is amazing, as Attenborough, to lead into.
I'm excited, yeah. Now.
Once a year, for one night only, a desert cactus flowers, blossoms by the full moon, and is pollinated by bats attracted to the sweet, irresistible perfume of its nectar, like the stench of rotten fruit, which they fly from cactus to cactus, sipping up in a frenzy. There you go. Isn't that amazing?
I'm going to be honest, I was so distracted by the voice and the dulcet tones that I didn't really
take in what I was saying.
I couldn't.
Basically, yeah, so there's this desert cactus, right? And it blossoms only once, right? Once a year for one night only. and it releases the scent of...
tonight, for one night only.
For one night
the
only.
The desert cactus.
Yeah, it does a stench of rotten fruit. But it is, this is amazing. These bats fly across the desert from miles and miles away on this one night because they cannot resist the smell. And they fly from cactus to cactus, sipping it up in a frenzy and basically pollinate it. And that's it. By the full moon as well is what it... But they, I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? So that's many amazing, good. Amazing plants out there. Now, there were some that I wanted to look at that I haven't caught up on yet. But let me go into where we are. Okay, so you've seen Little Shop of Horrors.
Did you just say, let me go into where we are, okay?
Yes. You've seen Little Shop of Horrors. Feed me, Seymour.
I've got an Audrey 2 on the desk somewhere.
There you go. And we've all seen Day of the Triffids, I hope, or if you haven't, it was there's a film of it, but it was a terrifying series in the 80s. Brilliant music as well. Really, really stark about plants, you know, who are taking over and killing human beings and blinding them, taking over the world. But let us go into the real, let us delve into the real world of strange and amazing plants. Just trying to slide down a little bit there. So first of all, we're going to look at...
First of all...
Amorphophallus konjac.
Whoa. I am not looking at your Amorphophallus konjac again.
Also known as the devil's tongue, the snake palm, or the voodoo lily. All great names.
Yeah, geez, look at your voodoo lily. Sorry.
Okay, so if you want to be Colin the Ant for this, you're more than welcome to.
Hello,
Colin. It's I'm glad you're back again. You're it's back. You've been resurrected, haven't you?
I have.
I want to introduce you to my little friend here. This is called the Amorphophallus konjac.
Hello, Amorphophallus konjac. It's lovely to meet you. I'm Colin.
It's also called the devil's tongue.
Now Uncle Si.
Can you see its dark purple tongue?
Uncle
Si.
It's
almost 22 inches long.
Uncle Si, I'm scared.
You're getting lured in, aren't you, Colin? You're getting lured in. You're walking down the tongue, aren't you?
You're not going to let him hurt me, are you?
Oh, I wouldn't let him hurt you.
I'll continue.
Say here, Colin, that it lures insects by its pigments and the promise of nectar.
Oh,
are you being lured
nectar.
In? Oh,
is
yeah.
You're telling me there's nectar.
Oh, careful, Colin. Look, the rim is slippery. You don't want to fall in. Oh, dear. As you can see, Colin, the walls are lined with waxy scales.
Why did you do this to me?
you can't get out. Because
I trusted you.
Try and climb up, Colin. Try and climb up.
I'm going to die.
Oh, watch out for the crystal spikes and the hairy spears. Look, they all point inward and downward, so you can't get out.
It's pointing inward and downward. I can't get out.
Oh, dear. Oh, no. You're being drowned and gradually dissolved.
I thought you loved me, Uncle Sam.
Sorry, Colin. Si,
what the hell just happened?
I'm really sorry.
What happened to Colin?
Well, Colin's a good tool to emphasise the subject
he's
matter.
A tool.
Well, I hope
the living, breathing ants.
He'll get reincarnated. It's all part of nature's rich pageant. That's all it is. Did you know, though, that the konjac fruit jelly?
Everyone's going to have trouble moving on from what just happened.
Amorphophallus konjac does not only kill ants. There's a product called a konjac fruit jelly snack. And these have this is really awful actually, sorry.
I love a fruit jelly snack.
These I know, so do lots of kids in American. But unfortunately, a lot of greedy American children have choked to death on the konjac fruit jelly snacks because it lodges in their trachea. There you go.
But okay. What's the difference
The plant, it's made out of the plant. It not only kills, it also kills through the fruit jellies.
I see.
It's a real
killer.
Do
they die from the choking?
But they're also, yeah, because it's not like your normal fruity sweet because it comes from the, if you can't, you have to like make sure you chew it up and break it down. If you swallow it in one go, it lodges in your trachea.
Okay.
So the konjac is killing.
Duly noted.
But also, there is the elephant yam, which is related to it.
Elephant yam!
Not to be confused with the elephant foot yam.
Elephant foot yam!
Which they make yam cake out of. But that smells like a rotting corpse to attract beetles which pollinate it. But it's that is related as well to the Ormolfophallus conjac, the devil's tongue snake palm. Mm-hmm. But now we're going to go on to one of my favourite carnivorous plants, the tropical pitcher plant.
Oh, do you hear that silence? That silence of hesitation.
The tropical pitcher plant. Now, it's like a pitcher, really. It's it's like a big kind of goblet, the pitcher plant. It eats, get this right, it's a plant. It eats lizards, termites, spiders and worms, and even in some, the remains of partially digestive rats have been found inside of them. Now, they've got specialized leaves. They're known as pitfall traps. And I can see you're still stunned by me talking about American children choking on konjac jelly.
I'm still stunned.
You're going to edit that out, aren't you?
No, I'm honestly just stunned that a murderer can, just send an ant to its death
I'm really sorry about that.
Your friend for months and now you just carry on like nothing's happened.
He'll be back. Look, he was
killed. It's cold. It's so cold.
He was killed by the, fungi, by the cordyceps. He's been killed by the Ormolfophallus conjac.
All I'm saying is he's going to be out for revenge on
Colin, you. Come back, Colin.
Colin's dead. Colin's dead.
Back. He's going to be, come on.
No,
he's going to
Colin's
be reincarnated.
Dead. He's
okay.
Dead.
You so the pitcher, him. The pitcher plant.
He's going to be reincarnated and come for you at some stage.
The pitcher plant's in the form of a turkey, probably.
Wait a minute. That was him. Okay. Interesting. We're so, making connections. Carry
pitcher
on.
Pitcher plants have specialized leaves known as pitfall traps, which is a deep cavity formed by a cupped leaf, which is basically like a cup or a goblet, and its slippery waxy coating on the inner wall. Inside, it's filled with digestive fluid. Now, digestive biscuits, yeah. So that's what digestive biscuits are made out of. The inner... No, they're not. So listen. So the prey is attracted to the nectar, falls in, and then it slips down the wall and is digested. Prey as big as sometimes partially digested rats. But there are also trumpet pitchers.
They weren't partially digested before they went in.
I don't believe so. But the trumpet pitchers, also known as the cobra plant, they have a more complex trap and they have an inflated lid, which is like a maze. This is incredible, right? It has false exits and a forked tongue, which ferries ants, sorry, Colin, to the edge of the pit.
Oh, hello, Sam. It turns out I'm reincarnated.
Let me introduce you to my friend, the cobra plant, the trumpet pitcher.
Before I say hello, Uncle Si, just want to say that I forgive you for all the times you've sent me to my death. And although I am but an ant, I really love you and I trust you with my life. Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Let me introduce you to the cobra plant here. Can you see? Can you have a little look?
Hang on a minute.
No. There's a load of nectar in there. You're going to really...
Oh, like. You know how much I like nectar. Is this a present for killing me?
That's right. So be careful when you come in, because if you go past that inflated lid there,
I'm just going to pop past the inflated lid.
Yeah, don't get, because there's a maze. There's a maze in there. So be careful.
Oh, where am I? Hang on a minute. I've got myself turned around.
Hang on.
Let me think. Left. I'm going to go left. Now right.
Yeah, be careful, because one of those is a false exit, Colin. Watch out for the forked tongue.
I think I've found the exit.
Not the exit.
There's a giant tongue in here. I don't know what's happening.
Oh, God.
Uncle Si, help me.
Sorry. It's going to ferry
Have you sent me into this maze of death?
Is it ferrying you to the edge of the pit, you'll fall down?
It's ferrying me to the edge of a pit.
Oh, no. You're going to slip down the slippery waxy coating. Oh, no. He's going to be digested in the digestive liquid. Sorry, Colin.
Digestively.
I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
Uncle Si, have you betrayed me again?
I meant to take you to the other one, the other pitcher plant.
I shall return, and yeah. you will rue the day you sent me to my death.
Oh, God, I'm in such fear. There is what? Let me end on a happy note, Colin. I know you're dead, but
Colin's gone.
There is one.
I just watched him dissolve, and you've just moved on from it.
There is one. There's one pitcher plant that doesn't kill.
Why didn't you introduce them to that one?
That's what I meant to. I got confused in my notes. I'm sorry. But this one is a living tree shrew toilet.
Hello there. This is the Ant Police.
Oh, God.
We'd like to talk to Mr. Henty, if you don't mind.
Yeah, he's not around, I'm afraid. Yeah, I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him about Ant Police.
I have. That is him right there.
I've got nothing to do with this.
All right, Mr. Henty.
I don't know what you're talking
about.
Put
your hands in the cuffs.
We're going to have to put you in the ant car and ask you a few questions. Finish science as we drive away.
Okay, so let me talk to you, Ant Police, about the living tree shrew toilet. There is one pitcher plant that has a symbiotic relationship with the tree shrew. It has a non-slippery rim with no cavity, which is a comfortable perch for little shrews to rest their tiny little hindquarters on, their little bodies. And the shrew can sit on there and they nibble on perfectly positioned nectar, but then at the same time they poo into the pitcher plant. And the plant then gets its bulk of nitrogen from the shrew dung. Isn't that amazing, Ant Police?
Quite amazing, but it won't see you. It won't see your freedom, my lad. Now, come on, we're taking you off to Ant Jail.
And these handcuffs are tiny. They're really hurting my little fingers. Get them out! Get off me!
Well, ladies and gentlemen,
police brutality.
Sai has been taken off in an ant car. Hopefully, he'll be on trial soon and nothing will come of it. But we did both see him kill Colin the Ant twice. So we'll see how that goes. I guess I should just end science here. I'll do a sad version of the jingle. Da, da, da.
Dream speak.
Was that a duet?
Yeah, that was a duet between a chorister and Tom Jones.
Which one was which?
They were both Tom Jones. I went back in time and picked him up when he was a chorister in a small Welsh church.
I'm gonna hit the ground running with this dream.
Come on.
Here we go. I said two words in my sleep, just two words, but they
just
could mean many
words.
Things. In my sleep, I said time grab.
Ooh, time grab. I like it. Yeah.
Which I think could be our new game show.
I love that time grab. In fact, I'm gonna nick that idea from you.
Oh, well, I see. Ladies and gentlemen, how this works.
Time grab. I'm gonna write that
ladies
down.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Time Grab.
Where we use invisible giant hands to grab people from time as we did with Tom Jones and pit them against themselves.
It's good, that, isn't it?
That is great, Time Grab. It'd be a great name for a sci-fi film as well.
Maybe we should do a segment on here called Time Grab.
I think that'd be great. Why not? Yeah.
Let's have a think about that. But in the meantime,
yeah.
I said this. In my sleep, I said, I woke up and it's all shifted. I have hands and teeth and I'm ready to go. And my girlfriend said, is that all you need? Hands and teeth? And I said, I'm preempting what you'll ask me.
Always the clever one in your sleep.
I'm a witty fool.
Oh, you're always ahead of the game.
But hands and teeth, it's up there with the only things you really need, right? Apart from all the other things.
Hands and teeth. I'm just trying to think how many other things you...
That is very Lynchian, though. I woke up and it's all shifted.
Yeah, hands and teeth. So obviously before everything shifted, you didn't have hands and teeth.
Or maybe that's all I had left.
Afterwards, Yeah, because you'd be like some kind of like, well, you'd be like a starfish. Essentially, a starfish is just a pair of hands with a mouth in the middle, right? And teeth. So it's kind of
Yeah,
if you think about it in that way.
Yeah, that must be it. Thanks,
yeah.
I.
Yeah, you were starfish.
Okay, here's an extra special dream speak. And do you know why it's extra special? Sorry, my voice went funny then.
I don't.
It's the heat. It's extra special because I said it last night.
Ooh.
So it's a fresh dream speak.
Fresh off the...
Oh, I can barely pick up the piece of paper. It's so
fresh
hot.
Fresh from the dream mill.
I said, don't listen. My girlfriend replied, don't listen to what? And I said, when I whisper. And she said, why not? And I said, not to you when I whisper to the pyro guy in my dream.
The pyro... Or pyro.
P-Y-R-O, like pyrotechnics.
Ah, the pyro guy.
So what I'm thinking is that maybe my dreams are a sort of Truman Show type production where there's lots of people behind the scenes.
It have certainly ever, sounds that way,
Have you
it?
Ever wondered if there's people behind the scenes conducting your dreams?
Behind the scenes conducting my dreams? I do like, it's kind of like the beginning of a poem. I don't know. Yeah. No, I feel like I'm...
All right, don't worry about it then. We'll just move on, shall we?
I feel like I'm the architect of my own dreams, but a different in my subconscious mind.
Yeah, but who's doing the lighting?
I don't know. Actually,
I think the Dream Union's going to have a word with you.
Oh, no. God, yeah, maybe I've got loads of little sort of brain dream workers.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Working behind the scenes to
it's a hard job keeping your dreams going.
It must be really hard, yeah, because you never know where you're going to go next in a dream, do you?
Exactly.
So they must have to hastily construct all the scenery.
I feel
and all
like
that
there's
kind of
an animation about, like a Pixar animation or something with this premise. I could be wrong. There's something. What is it? Write in and tell us what it is in which dreams are constructed by a sort of production crew type situation.
Was it Hellraiser? They did a version of that, didn't they? The Pixar Hellraiser remake?
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. Right, singers out.
Okay. Dream, if you want a time grab... Behind the scenes, they are setting up the pyrotechnics for house dream. Paranormal. Oh, yes, it's paranormal. Oh, here he comes. Whoa. In his spacesuit from the Pyramid of Giza, it's Paranormal with his conspiracy theories and madness. Oh, Paranormal, here he comes.
Today, let's go into the true science. For today, I have downloaded some ghost communication apps.
Did you say science then instead of paranormal?
Did I?
Yeah, you did.
Oh.
The two are dovetailing, you see.
They are. This is what happens. It's circular. All right. So I've downloaded two ghost communicator apps. One, well, I'm not going to say what they're
called.
But I'm going to show you on the screen what's happening.
Should you be able to, now, if there is a ghost in your present location, you should be able to directly communicate with it, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Not just a ghost on the internet.
So you don't say the name there, but you can see it's quite spooky.
Oh, it looks a spooky looking app. It's got like a hand and a green kind
exactly.
of so this aura one, around it.
This particular one is a spirit detector. So when I press the button, we can't necessarily communicate with this spirit, but it will inform me if there's a spirit in the vicinity.
What about that bottle of whiskey you've got behind you?
Don't worry about that. Okay, I'm pressing the button now so you can see. I'm going to show you. Don't say the name, but you can see what's happening there. Tap to begin. So here we go.
Yeah, it's going around and round.
Okay, here we go. So it says... Loading,
I'll do the sound effects.
Locating, currently locating spirits.
Wow.
So it's zipping around. Oh, something's happening there. What does that say? Presence detected.
Wow.
I might put some sound effects on to make this more exciting.
I can just do them.
Okay, well, there's a presence detected. Let's see. Receiving message.
My word.
Let's see what it says. So it is 8 meters away.
Right, not far. In the same room then.
Maybe. Well, maybe.
No, it could be just out in the hall.
I think it may be in my bath, actually, from here.
Right, okay. Well, do you want to go into the bath? Oh, no, you can't.
Okay, this is a residual spirit, apparently. It is red, and its status is unknown.
Wow. However, so you've got a residual red spirit in your bath.
Yeah, I do. And it's
some kind of strawberry liqueur.
Like, this is the message that it sent us. I'm going to let Sai read that. It's...
Of Promise Sent St. Quentin.
What do you think?
Well, I think that makes perfect sense.
Well, I think possibly me, yeah. There's a ghost called Quentin in my bath. A red ghost called Quentin.
Of Promise Sent St. Quentin. Right, yes. I think it's probably Uncle Quentin from the Famous Five. That's the only Quentin I know. Or it could be Quentin Crisp.
Or Quentin Tarantino.
It could be Quentin Tarantino.
Red
it's
blood.
Red, yeah, blood. Red blood. Could be Quentin Tarantino in your bathtub.
Making a new movie.
Making a new film, yeah.
That's amazing.
Maybe a version of Sense and Sensibility. Could be.
Well, he did. Oh, that. Do you know what? He did promise to make a version of Sense and Sensibility in my bath.
Well, that's it. That's obviously what's going on.
This is incredible.
But he's obviously in the spirit realm at the moment, so he's probably astrally projected to your bathtub.
Yeah,
down
probably.
I would have thought probably through the drain pipes and then just popped up.
Yeah, probably. I wonder if I should search for another one and see.
Have a look, see if there's another one out there.
Because I think...
if it's another Quentin, this could be incredible.
Yeah, we're locating the spirits. There's a few adverts popped up trying to make me buy some fishing tackle while I'm waiting.
Right, yeah, good.
Oh, Sai, we've detected another presence.
Another presence, God.
Message is being received. Okay, how far away is it? How far? I hope it's not too close. This one is 11 meters away.
Okay, so that would be in your toilet.
Could be in the toilet. Oh, this one is a female spirit. She's purple. And her her status is angry.
Right. Okay. So I'd be careful.
There's a message coming through here. Sai, do you want to try and make sense of that?
Okay, I'll try and do it in her angry female voice.
Fear your full first needs. Moon something leg loose put.
Yeah, she's really angry, all right.
Moon something leg loose.
Yeah, put. Moon. Yeah, moon something leg. Unless it's an anagram. Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Feel your first leg. Okay, I'm doing that now.
Yeah, then moon. Give me a moon. Show me your butt cheeks.
Oh, and it's made me a little loose.
A full moon.
Anyway, I am going to delete that app.
It's a little bit ambiguous, but you never know.
It's quite fun, though.
It is fun, and it's obviously used a lot by fishermen.
Yes,
hence the adverts for fishing tackle. Unless, of course, they are some kind of ghostly fishing tackle by which you can hook a ghost.
That is how you catch ghosts. You fish in graves.
Is that true?
Absolutely true, yeah. So that was a disappointing episode of Supernatural.
It wasn't disappointing. I enjoyed that.
All we discovered is that Quentin Tarantino is making a movie in my bath, and I have an angry girl on the toilet who wants me to put my loose leg forward or something.
this is what happens in the paranormal world.
So Sai, that is.
Yeah, well, it's been a really...
Oh, my God!
Oh, look at what's this on the horizon!
I'm super excited for this today.
Oh, wow, this is incredible.
Ahoy there, young lads!
Hello there, boys! How do you like the revamp we've done of the old ship here? Have a look at this, eh? What do you think?
What have you done?
They've really souped it up. Now, can't you see on the... It's kind of silver, and it's got all those, like...
We picked it!
Ah, look at these spoilers we've got! Oh, lad, on the back end there. Look at this one.
Let me just show you how loud my stereo goes. Oh, yes.
Oh, we're liking this. You want to do the old whip away rap? Oh, we'll do that when we take one of you away.
Let Let me get that off. Get off. Right.
Right.
Lads, where would you like to whip away today? Let me tell you this. I am ready. I am so ready to take you in my souped-up pimp-away machine.
Oh, I'm pumped up. I am pumped up. Look at me. Arr, my head's a fit to burst, my head.
Oh, my God.
My God, they're getting a bit overexcited. Calm down.
It's infectious, though, so I am getting quite... Maybe it's the heat. I'm sweating my bollocks off.
Yeah, me too. It's really
I tell
hot.
You what, the heat's giving me an idea. I would like to go to 1947, to the desert. The desert of New Mexico. Do you know what happened then?
No, I don't.
I think I know what you want to say, Mr. Waddle.
All right, yeah, we know what happened, sir.
Right.
I don't think I know. Is it something to do with nuclear bombs?
It's the Roswell crash, Si.
Oh. Roswell crash. Oh, what
I want to see a UFO crash.
Found the aliens.
I want to see what really happened. I'm going to climb up, right? Si, is that okay?
Climb aboard. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. I'm just going to go off and have a. Can I use your bath? Is that all right?
Quentin Tarantino's in there shooting a movie.
Ah, no. I was going to because all the ice cubes I've sellotaped to myself are melting.
Well, if you want to go off and do some callbacks, I'll just whip away, shall I?
Okay, all right. I'll see you later.
Right, climb aboard, Mr. Rattle.
Be careful.
See you later, Si.
Bye,
all right, guys.
Bye.
Let's go.
Right, let's do this. Put the pumping music on.
Right,
come on, Captain.
Get that one.
Let's do this. Oh, whip away. Oh, we're whipping.
Whipping and pimping away.
Oh, yeah.
Mexico.
Whip a whip. Ah, yeah.
That was excruciating. Are we there?
We're there. Kick him over the side, which is. Right, let's carry on with some of our rapping. I might do a bit of scratching.
Whip a whip.
Right, ladies, I am here in the scorching, windy deserts of New Mexico, and if I've got my timing right and watching the sky, I'm really hoping that I'm going to get to,
Who goes there? Who are you, boy, and what you doing hanging around here?
My name's Al, I'm from the future.
My name is Corporal Sergeant...
It's nice to meet you, Corporal Sergeant...
Yeah, you come with me, boy.
No,
You got an identity pass? You gotta get your hair cut, sonny.
My face is my identity pass.
Get that razor out there. Come on, let's take this boy's hair off. Come on, let's take it off.
Not the hair.
Yeah, let's get it off. That'll do the trick. Yeah, we don't want no goddamn hippies hanging around here.
There's a pluck chicken.
Got a bit of an operation going on around here.
What are you up to?
Come in, now listen, you gotta come with me. Come into this shelter here.
Okay.
We got this giant, great big radar here that's shaped like a giant ear.
I see it. It's spinning and it's making all sorts of cool sounds.
Yeah, that's right. Now you're gonna come inside here, okay? Now you gotta put these rubber suckers on your hands. We're gonna climb up onto the ceiling. Make sure we're safe from the radioactivity.
What's radioactive?
Oh, you're gonna find out, sonny. You're gonna find out.
Okay.
Now have a look at that radar there. You can see it's just coming in.
It's hard to read upside down. Beep.
Oh, here, put these upside down goggles on. They turn it the right way round.
Oh, now I see. Beep. Yeah. So what are we looking at here, Colonel?
Salute me when I'm talking to you, Colonel.
I can't salute you. My hands are sucker into the ceiling.
Oh, okay. Yeah, don't salute me then. In that case, you'll fall off.
What are we looking at? I'm going to tell you the reason I've come here. I'm from the future, and I have reason to believe that a UFO is going to crash on this very spot.
Don't use that word here, sonny. We don't use the word UFO. We don't use those words around here.
They're not actually words, they're just letters.
We don't use those letters.
UFO.
It's quite... We just say the flying saucer. That's what we say.
It's quite hard to...
Flying saucer.
It's quite hard to speak without using the letters UFO.
You can use those letters. Just
hard to speak...
Yeah, just don't use them in that order. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, now get ready. Oh, can you feel that rumbling?
The ground is shaking. The wind's getting up.
And do you know what I've heard, sonny? I've heard that some of those aliens, they've got nice big smiles and nice tight bottoms. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm waiting for. Oh, yeah. Woo-wee. I want to get me some alien ass.
I don't know why, but I kind of assumed you were a military man.
I am a military man.
Right.
I've been out here in the desert so long. Why, I ain't seen a nice piece of ass for, well, must be doggone 50 years. Sunshine, I've been waiting for these fucking aliens to come. and that's what I'm waiting for. Here they come. Yippee. I'm going to get me some alien pie.
Here they come. They're coming in now. There's going to be an almighty crash there.
Okay. Right, okay, now, unsuck yourself,
Something's crashed.
Unsuck yourself. Now, hang on, it's going to be hot out there. Now, let me just put some of this, what the hell was that? What in the hell was that?
Did you hear that?
What, you trying to freak me out, Sonny?
I don't know if you heard that or not, but it was some kind of thunder.
My word. Okay, here now, let me just rub some of this into your bald scalp, Sonny.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm completely lost. Where are we? We're in the desert.
Yeah, I'm rubbing some sun cream into thanks, your bald head, okay? I'm going to put some on my bald head. We've all got bald heads here.
Yeah, that's why
we wear these military caps, you see.
Caps, not cats.
We don't wear caps on our heads.
Over there that's crashed?
Yeah, that's what we're going to see. That is the flying saucer.
Can we creep over or not?
We're going to go over. Now,
I'm just going to run over and knock on the door.
Run over and knock on the door. No, get back.
Hello. Hello. Oh. Roswells. Roswells. The door's opening. What was your army pest? The door's opening.
Hello.
It's an actual real life alien.
My name is Zerfnock.
Oh, hang on. This is really important. I'm the first human.
I am from the planet Titan.
I'm the first human to make contact with aliens. I really have to think about
it. I like your baldy head.
Thank you.
Very nice.
I just have to think about what I want to say. I should have thought about what I should say on first contact.
We come in peace.
That was it. Do you come in peace?
We come in peace.
Well, that's nice.
We have come to do a tour of Earth.
A tour of Earth.
We will start off in England.
Well, I can take you to England. We can whip away back there if you want.
We want to do a tour based on food and go from cheddar to beer.
Right. So that sounds nice.
Would you like to come? What are you doing talking to them damn aliens?
No, you don't understand.
Get down on your knees, Sonny. Get down on your knees.
No,
you're going to die, you goddamn. Damn alien!
Don't shoot! Oh no, you shot them both in the head.
I am dying now.
No, please don't leave me. I want to take you on I want to take you on
this
shredder tour.
That's it. Now we can do experiments on him. Get that anal probe up here, Captain. We can stick him up his ass. That's the way we do it around here. Let's get some DNA samples. That's right. Pull his eyeballs out and put them in these jars.
Give me that, helping,
Sonny, or are you just going to stand there looking shocked like some kind of goddamn idiot?
Well, I'm going to. If you give me that gun, I'll hold the gun while you do that.
You hold this goddamn gun. Now, that's where we... he goddamn shot me, you alien-loving mother-sonny bitch!
Ah, well, it was a nice trip while it lasted, but I'm afraid everyone had to die. All right, Mr. Ronald, what's going on? Oh, my good lord, what have you done?
A real mess down there. He's killed a lot of them. He's gone mad with a shotgun.
I didn't.
You ain't coming back with us, Ronald. Leave him be, Captain.
He's gone nuts.
Yes. I knew all this time travel would muckle with his
leave
brain in the
be.
End.
Leave him in 1947. Right, it's time to whip back.
Whip back.
Hello there, Mr. Henty. How are you doing?
Hello there. Where's Al?
I'm afraid he went on a killing spree, so we had to leave him in 1947.
He's got a bit nuts, so yeah, we had to kill him, I'm afraid. Oh, sorry, we didn't have to kill him. He killed everyone, sorry, we had to leave him back there.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll find his way back to you one way or another. Right, we got to whip away.
Hang on, there's an old man approaching me from the...
You're right there, Si, it's nice to see you again.
Oh my God, is that Al?
Yeah, I have been wandering the earth since 1947.
Oh, what did they do to you? Oh, my God.
Well, this crazy sex pest man shot them with a gun, and so I took him out. And ever since then, I've been trying to honour the aliens' wishes and going on a cheddar and food tour.
Right. Oh, yeah, you're all covered in... You've got loads of beer there, and you've all covered in cheddar crumbs and stuff.
I've had cheddars and fruits, and yes. But I'll tell you this, Si, we are not alone in the universe.
Right, at least you know that, I suppose.
Well, we are now.
Oh, yeah, because you killed them all, did you? That's what the Captain Blubberhouse and Colonel Blubberhouse and Captain... Oh, my God. So you're a serial-killing elderly man.
No, it was all a bit of a prank, Si. There were no aliens. It was an elaborate ruse. It was a weather balloon.
Right, that was it.
Yeah, it's just nothing. A weather balloon.
And you're not an old man at all. This is just
No. That was just
an old man costume.
Yeah.
Ah, so you held on to the bottom of the pimped-up ship. And you came back with them anyway, and then left off.
It was absolutely a weather balloon. And the thing
is, weather spoons.
It was a weather spoon. Yeah. Headache,
don't.
There you go.
Well, that went well, didn't it? Yeah.
Anecdotes. This is the section of the show where we tell some amusing true anecdotes.
Absolutely true. All anecdotes are genuinely suffered by myself.
I say they're all absolutely true. This one is actually an anecdote that I heard from my father.
Yeah, well, this is a weird thing. I was just thinking this now. Isn't this weird that Al's father was a copper, a policeman, in the 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
I'm assuming some of the 90s.
Yeah.
And my father, too, was a policeman as well in those eras. So I'm assuming in the 70s, they both wore kind of leather jackets and thought of themselves and carried magnums and of champagne, probably, in those. And, drank hard whiskey drinking, kind of. They climbed in the windows of cars. And
this is a story that, I mean, you're probably the same. Your dad's probably passed down quite a few tales.
He has, many of which I will not tell.
Absolutely.
I did actually just remember the little one which was true. Can I just slip this in?
Yeah, go for it.
This is a typical policeman's attitude from the 1970s. Whereas an old lady went up, me and my dad and his partner in crime or in law, apparently, were stood on a street corner, and an elderly lady came up to them, both in uniform, came up to his partner and said to him,
"Oh, are you a policeman?"
And his friend walked away, went up to a shop window, looked himself up and down, walked back to the old lady and said, "It would appear so, madam."
That's very good.
Yes, that's very good.
So this is a grisly tale.
Not a grisly. A grizzly bear tale? The grizzly bears of Paisley?
I'm not sure, like, the details of... obviously, I wouldn't mention any details, but supposedly... This is a handed-down tale. There was a washing-up factory, a thunderstorm. You hear that?
I don't know. Yeah, I can hear it over here. Yeah, it's amazing.
It's giving this a bit of, a bit of gravitas. So there was a giant vat of washing-up liquid in this factory. And supposedly, after a long weekend holiday, they found a body in there. So either, I can't remember the details, someone had fallen in or whatever, but when they fished him out, the washing up liquid had turned his body green.
God.
Bright green, which is quite bizarre. But the part of it that, you know, that's kind of, you know, funny but not funny, is supposedly because it had all kind of absorbed into the body, when they took him to the morgue, he just kept sliding off the table.
So every time they went to examine him, it's like
which is quite a funny idea. I like the idea of an autopsy scene. So it's just
every time he's trying to kind of like find out what's wrong. But were his hands as soft as his face? I couldn't help but ask.
That's very good.
I did. Another story did come to me. Can I do this?
Do you think they replaced the washing up liquid though?
what in the vat.
There could have been people out there washing the dishes with corpse liquid.
It was clean, right? I'm sure it was clean.
Well, this is what I thought.
They probably cleaned the body, yeah. I mean,
he also would have been the cleanest
bacterial
body.
Stuff. Exactly, yeah, they wouldn't have, and it probably smelt really nice, because I think that the police have to go in, and that's the worst thing. I remember my dad, because it's one of those initiation things when you first have to go into a post-mortem, is it's the smell, it's not the sight of the body as such, but the smell of the body. I'd imagine in there, if that was somebody's first post-mortem, they're probably like, I could go, well, I don't know what people are going on about, I could come back to this. It smells like a kind of fruity jasmine kind of
quite delicious.
Quite lovely. Lovely. And there was another one. Yeah, it's funny. I can think. There was a guy who kept phoning up the police station. He in the 70s. He was a real busybody. One of these people kept phoning him up, complaining about his neighbor's dog shitting on his front lawn. So and he kept phoning him up, and he was like, "Yes, he's at it again. I've woken up this morning and there are two poos on my front lawn. Now, I've told you about this." Now, they had obviously lots of other serious crime to deal with, and it was really getting on their nerves, particularly this one cop. He was the one who looked himself up and down in the window. At the time,
he sounds like a real card.
He used to work with my father. Now, he got so irritated by this guy phoning up all the time and just saying, "Hey, that is again," or coming down the station, that he went out, he mixed up a big vat of icing sugar and cocoa powder. And in the nighttime, when they were out in the squad car, they went to the guy's front lawn and they used an icing bag to poop out loads of appeared to be dog shit all over the guy's lawn. So in the morning, as they knew, the guy phoned up and he was outraged. He said, "This is getting ridiculous. It's everywhere. It's all over the place. And you've got to come down." And so the guy said, "Okay, Mr. Whatever. We'll come down. We'll come down and have a look.
Going.
So they come down. The guy answers the door. And the policeman's like, "Look, what's the problem?" And the guy's like, "What's the problem? Can't you see? Look at this. Is it work?" And the guy was like, "Well, it doesn't look like dog shit to me." And the guy was like, "It doesn't look like dog shit. Doesn't look like..." He's getting really mad. And so then the policeman got down on his hands and knees and he said, "Doesn't smell like dog poo." And the guy was like, "Doesn't smell like dog poo. This is dog poo." And then the policeman got his finger and stuck it into the dog poo and took a great big slavery lot of it. He said, "No. Definitely doesn't taste like dog poo." And the guy was horrified. Absolutely horrified.
That's a good one.
That was a good little trick.
These are all good. I sense a cop show in the process.
We could, yeah, because some of the ones are coming back to me now. Some of the less harmful stories, as it were, about some of the mischief that the police would get up to in the back in the day. I think nowadays there's probably a lot of rules and regulations that
probably rightly so.
that disallow them from doing so. A few japes is okay, I suppose, but yeah, they do need the rules and regulations, let's face it.
It's a nice political end to the podcast. The police force, they do need rules and regulations.
A few harmless japes can turn into something much worse. So, ladies and gentlemen, Al is just about to stick his battered Wally through the back of a fan. No, right, he's actually going to risk talking through the back of a fan to convince me that this is what I need to do in order to live out my fantasy in full of becoming Darth Vader. Al... There's a lot of electricity around.
It's a rather big fan as well.
Let me just tell you about, there's a thunderstorm outside that I can hear on Al's end of the line here. So he's now in a thunderstorm with a fan in the heat next to a microphone with headphones on. And here we go.
Have you never done this, really?
No, never even heard of it. No, but I will be doing it if it makes you sound. Right. If it doesn't chop your tongue off.
Okay.
I
don't know how this will work with the fan blowing on the microphone. Is that too loud? Hello, Si. Welcome
I think you need to say something Darth Vader-ish.
Behold.
Why is it not working?
Behold. Why are you testing my patience?
It sounds kind of like Laurence Olivier trying to do Darth Vader through the back of a fan.
I will destroy you.
Yeah, not.
I am Darth Vader.
You are not Darth Vader.
Behold my fan. My lip got caught slightly.
You see, this is the problem.
Can you hear it though?
No.
It might only work from your side of the fan.
Oh, well, now you tell me that. So you can only hear it to yourself.
Behold my warning voice. I am talking through a fan.
Maybe it'll come over in the recording. The audience will be like, why is I laughing?
Hope so. Because
can't
otherwise
you say something Darth Vader-ish? Like,
okay, well.
You will, join together. We will rule the universe as father and son. There you go.
Mr. Henty.
Yes.
You and I will rule the universe as father and son. Sibilance, one, two.
Not bad. Actually, deepen your voice so it sounds a bit more like James L. Jones.
James L. Jones.
Oh, yeah, now I'm getting it. A little bit more.
Robot James L. Jones.
Yeah, now say, sigh, together we will rule.
Sigh, together we will end this podcast.
Okay, Darth, whatever you say.
Goodbye!
Well, I'm going to turn. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, cheers for that.
Bye!